This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. In Afghanistan, U.S. planes continue to hit the Taliban stronghold of Kunduz in the north and Kandahar in the south. Most of the rest of the country is under opposition control, but these two cities continue to hold out. In Kabul, the Afghan capital, efforts are underway to form a broad-based government to replace the Taliban. Special UN envoy Francesc Vendrell has been meeting with the leaders of the Northern Alliance in Kabul. NPR's Michael Sullivan is in Kabul. What about these diplomatic efforts to form an interim government?
Well, the UN deputy is here in Kabul for talks with various key players here, Bob. Over the weekend, he met with several members of the leadership of the Northern Alliance, or the United Front, as they prefer to be called, including the people who really for now hold the power here, the United Front Defense Minister, General Fahim, and the Interior Minister, Yunus Kanuni. He also met over the weekend with Burhanuddin Rabbani, the man who technically heads the United Front and leads the government, which still holds Afghanistan's seat at the United Nations. The UN never recognized the Taliban during their rule over most of the country. And Rabbani was president of the last government here, the one that the Talibs drove out. The UN envoy also met with members of the ethnic Pashtuns from the south and is trying to meet with leaders of the country's Hazara minority as well. The Pashtuns and the Hazaras are a bit wary of the mainly ethnic Tajik United Front takeover of Kabul. They fear they may get cut out of any future government, but leaders of the United Front insist that they only entered the city because of the vacuum left with the sudden departure of the Taliban last week, and they say they're willing to share power with other groups. The question is, when?
So the UN envoy is there to hasten the process?
Absolutely, and a spokesman today said that Mr. Vendrell is here to convince the United Front and everyone else to sit down and hold talks on the future of the country as fast as humanly possible. There's a real fear here, and in world capitals, I think, that unless that process gets underway and soon, the people who feel they've been left out might start to try to take what they feel is theirs by force, and this whole thing could unravel very quickly. What the UN wants, as expressed in a Security Council resolution last week, is for a meeting of all concerned parties to be held, preferably at a neutral site, to get started on a process of power sharing in a transitional administration that would in turn pave the way for elections in 2 years' time. Now, getting the United Front on board for such a meeting seems to be Mr. Vendrell's chief goal here. So far, he hasn't succeeded. But the United Front Foreign Minister, Dr. Abdullah, said yesterday in Uzbekistan that the meeting would be held and not in Kabul, as some in the United Front insisted. But again, there's still no word on when.
Now, what's going on with the fighting?
Well, the Taliban seem to be squeezed basically into two areas, around, as you said, the northern city of Kunduz and the southern city of Kandahar, the Taliban's real power base. And while they've yet to give up, they're being pounded mercilessly by U.S. air power, and they're also being engaged in some places by Northern Alliance forces. At this point, things appear to be pretty bleak for the Taliban, but they are not showing any signs of abandoning Kandahar, of giving it up. Though there have been some reports that some Taliban commanders in Kunduz have expressed through third parties their desire to negotiate some sort of a deal, either safe passage or surrender, but these reports can't yet be confirmed and they're a bit unclear.
You were last in Kabul just before the September 11th terrorist attacks. How's the city changed?
Tremendous difference. It's like night and day, Bob. There is still some apprehension here among many people about the future, but the present for the time being seems just fine. When I was here 2 months ago, when the Taliban were here, there was an oppressive feeling in the air, something you could actually feel as you traveled around the city. The Taliban's enforcers from the Ministry for the Promotion of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice were everywhere. They made sure that people didn't play music or watch TV. They made sure women didn't allow any part of themselves to be uncovered. They made sure that men's beards were long enough. And they dealt harshly with anyone who violated any of these rules. This morning on the streets, a completely different feeling, really like a bird having been let out of a cage. The streets were crowded. There were vendors hawking homemade satellite television dishes on the streets. You wouldn't have seen that 2 months ago. Women were showing a bit of ankle as they walked down the street. Some of their colorful dresses could be seen under their burqas. The radio station is playing music. The TV station is back. There's been a 180-degree turn here. It may not last, but for the moment at least, people appear happy and relieved to see the backs of the Taliban.
Well, it had to look differently in other ways, too. I mean, it was bombed.
It was bombed, but I just got here yesterday, Bob, and I haven't been around a lot of the city, but there appears to be very little in the way of new damage to my eye that I can see. When you compare it with the tremendous damage that this city suffered during years of Mujahideen infighting, I think the damage that was inflicted here by the U.S. airstrikes was really pretty small in comparison with what the Afghans did to themselves, did to each other during those years.
NPR's Michael Sullivan in Kabul, Afghanistan.